Well, the Lord honors himself through a man named Job in 42 chapters, right in the middle of the Bible. One of the harder books to deal with, I think. Certainly filled with pain and tragedy, disappointment that wipes Job out. And I know many of you would share in some of Job's expressions of grief and loss, because you've been through the intensity of great loss like Job was. And so to know the Lord's presence in that, and that he doesn't leave us on our own when things are really, really bad. That's an important message from the book of Job. Almost 90% of the book, Job is suffering. And the last five chapters, God starts to speak to him, and he begins to focus on how great God is in the midst of the great pain that he has. In the New Testament, Job's described as a man who had patient perseverance in great suffering and pain. So God's going to have to give that to us in a world that's broken. I heard a great song this morning on a television. It's a broken world, and Jesus cradles that in his arms. So there's something about God being greater than the tremendous brokenness that you have in your own soul, as do I, and also that is all around us. But Job saw firsthand God's mercy and compassion. So don't forget about that when the message of Job is upon us through this book here. Job gets very emotional and struggles with how to express that emotion. Somebody said gals do better expressing emotion than guys, and therefore a couple reasons why gals live longer. First is because guys wear ties, so we're being choked on the installment plan. Okay. And the other reason is gals live longer because they know how to put their emotions out in a healthy way. So, but Job was struggling with that. And so remember, when you have emotions, God created emotions for a reason to be expressed. Okay. And sometimes if you're quiet, then you're a quiet person, that's to honor God. If you're out there, you know, with a lot of emotion, that's to honor God too. But here's a Bible picture of some of the things that went on behind the scenes when Job was going through all this loss, which I'll tell you about in a minute. Important that we see the big picture of the way the Bible explains God's ruling over everything that happens, even the things that happen in the life of Job. And so here's the Lord Jesus, God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Okay, we know that as a Bible fact from many places, particularly Matthew chapter 28. So right now, the whole universe is ruled by Christ. Every molecule, every moment, every one. Right now, ruled by Christ. Okay, he has the final say on things. I don't sneeze without God's permission. Okay, or God's ability to help me sneeze. Jesus rules the universe. Also, where we fit in that relationship, you know, we're way below God. He reaches out in love to us, but he sends his son, Jesus gives his life for us for the forgiveness of sins, raises from the dead, sends his spirit into us. So when we go throughout this world, greater is he who is in us, that's God's spirit, than anything in the world. Particularly John was thinking about bad things against God, evil spirits and sin itself. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Very important to remember that. If we forget the first two, we're going to get lost in the mudslinging that's out there and just be wiped out by the pain and difficulty that we experience. So God's spirit in us, greater than he who's in the world. Next, it's good to know there's angels, you know, under the command of Jesus, who do a lot of things. In the book of Revelation, Michael, as an angel, is pointed out as quite a strong angel. And apparently, if you read Revelation in terms of the numbers of what happened when there was rebellion against God among the angels, Michael and most of the angels stayed with the Lord. Okay? So, in case you ever wondered, more good angels than evil. I don't know if you ever wondered that, but the Bible teaches there are more good angels than evil. So some say, well, wait, we got the, you know, we got the most in terms of what the Lord has provided. And then, of course, we want to acknowledge, which Job does in the first two chapters, the presence of evil. Satan, which is a fallen angel, and those who follow him among his followers, which would be fallen angels. And Revelation 12 describes that as one third of the stars falling out of heaven, symbolic of about one third of the angels being against God. So if we were to look at the world, you know, we would have to say, seems to me that the Lord has a lot more power than this other rebellious happening. Okay, that often occupies our mind. And what, you know, you look around, what do I see? I see suffering. I was talking to a guy today, he walked in, he said, I saw a rainbow this morning. You know, so he's noticing God, who's omnipresent. We know that God's Spirit who's in us greater than anything evil in the world. And there's Michael, who happens to be stronger, by the way, than Satan, apparently. I don't know if I would make that conclusion real simple by the different passages in the Bible. Because Michael grabs the devil and throws him out of heaven. Later on, another angel, probably Michael again, takes the devil and chains him up and tosses him somewhere away from God. Okay, so in terms of the strength of who God is, way, 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 way more powerful than the evil that is present, which we do acknowledge. Please hold on to that as you go through this world, which is very troublesome and very evil. Still, good massively prevails. And it's up to us to take note of that. To put it simply now, don't fear the devil, fear God. Okay? Don't fear the devil, fear God. If you fear the devil, you're watching The Exorcist too much. Okay, read your Bible. Know the greatness of God from Genesis to Revelation, and the real rebellion that's there is going to be conquered by God and is presently conquering it, even though it seems to us, the devil, he's just running amok. The devil doesn't sneeze without God's permission. That's something we see in the book of Job. Keep that in mind so you have a biblical view of the world, not something of your own imagination or your own fears. Okay? Very important. The Lord omnipotent reigns. And so that's the picture that Job walks into as he faces what he faces. God and the devil have this conversation, and God opens the door for Job to go through these trials. First, a very significant loss of family and loved ones, and then significant loss in his own health. All of Job's children are killed in a tornado or some windstorm. It's a terrible thing. All his sheep and cattle are stolen. So he's out of a job. He's out of resources. And then he loses his health 100%. I mean, he's really suffering in a terrible way. In the midst of all this, Job falls to the ground and worships God. Something for us to take note of. Very hard to do, but you know, when life brings us to our knees, we could worship God on our knees. And Job's on the ground; he worships God. He says, "Lord, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So Job, he sees God as in charge of what's happening to him ultimately, and I think we should also just say, "Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm glad you're here. Lord, I'm glad you love me." Even if it's all you could say in worship, that's really important. Job says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. He sits on the ground. His three friends come. They see him. You know, they come and they cry because he's in great pain. And they sit on the ground with him and they don't say anything. No sermons, no songs, no Bible verses. Sometimes that's good for the man in pain. Hold off on that. Hold off on the sermon, the songs, and the Bible verses. They sit with Job because they see how much suffering he has. Later, his friends start doing the yakety-yak thing, and they give Job a headache in the midst of his other problems. Job calls them miserable comforters. Okay, so a good lesson from us, for us, when we read the book of Job, the grace of God staying with him in the pain. When you see a friend in great pain, reach out to them in a simple, quiet way. Okay, when you see a friend in pain or a loved one, reach out to them in a simple, quiet way. When I go to a funeral, I don't give a sermon in greeting the person. I say because I really saw God at work in that person's life. Thank the Lord for heaven. Thank the Lord for Jesus. And praying for you, dear Mary or Joe or whoever it is. And, most of the time, life is going to devastate us on a regular basis. Ravi Zacharias said, there's so much pain in the world. Pain and suffering have made atheists and agnostics out of many people. And really, that's really the reason behind a lot of the atheists and agnostics. They see all the bad things and they say, I don't think there could be a God because look at all the bad things. Again, they happen to be looking at the bottom part of the picture there and maybe not aware enough of the first three parts that are much more powerful. Zacharias also said that the pain and suffering in the world can also cause shallow comforters out of many believers. In other words, Job's friends, they were believers. But in the long haul, they weren't ready to just be with Job. They wanted to kind of go after some reasons for what was happening. I think Job's life, too, is a message that says, there'll come a time in our life where we'll say, Lord, I don't know if I can trust you. Because Job struggled with that. So if you ever get there, you won't be the first person to say that to God. Lord, I don't know if I can trust you. But remember, again, we're not caused to understand God 100%, but he does invite us to trust him when we can't see any reason for that. So Job experiences his grief outwardly in the rest of the book. Grief and loss are hard work. We find Jesus in the midst of that. And if you lose anyone significantly or anything significantly, there'll be a lot of pain in your soul. I always thought physical pain was easier to handle than emotional pain. Great loss. Your soul's going to be hurting. People, they study these things nowadays. 3 months to 2 years, massive amount of pain in your soul. A lot longer than a broken bone, a broken heart, you might say. And Job says, cursed is the day I was born. Job gets angry with the Lord. Oh God, I cry out to you. You don't answer me. You toss me about in the wind. You throw me in the mud. And the Lord's the only one who can handle our anger real well. We can't handle it real well, and most people around us can't handle it real well. If I got up today and said, I'm very angry with God, you all would be nervous and probably be at the Methodist church next week. But occasionally Christians are going to say this to one another. So, Job is hurting very badly, but guess who is hurting also? God is hurting. Because God loves Job. In fact, God is hurting worse than Job is hurting. Because loved ones hurt worse than the one going through pain. It's a good thing to remember. In Isaiah 66, it says about the Lord, in all the people's distress, God too was distressed. So it's almost like Job's sitting there in all his pain. He has two broken arms, and he's really, in misery. It's symbolic. And God's right next to him, and God has two broken arms, two broken legs, and two broken feet. And if Job could just see that, when you're suffering, and there's somebody else suffering right next to you who's actually suffering more than you are, chances are that's going to allow you to begin some healing in your soul to say, I know I'm suffering, but I can only imagine the pain God's in. Because he weeps when we weep. and in my distress, he is distressed, and he bears our griefs and our sorrows, says Isaiah 53, in addition to all our sins. That's a lot of pain. God knows pain firsthand in the universe and firsthand when you and I have it. So the Lord stays with Job in the pain he's in. Job, in his grief and anger, he questions God. And it's very instructive that in 42 chapters of the book of Job, God does not answer any of Job's questions about the pain and suffering he is in. Instead, God offers him something better. He offers Job God's friendship. Which is really, I'd rather have God's friendship than a couple answers about, you know, the terrible thing that you and I go through. And God, he don't even go behind the scenes and say, Job, let me explain to you what's happening here between myself and the devil. It's kind of like I'd like to show the devil how much I could do for a person, you know. And he doesn't tell Job that. In fact, we don't hear from the devil the rest of the book, appropriately so. Again, he's under the authority of the Lord God Almighty. And so Jesus comes and loves Job, shoulders the pain with him. And God reveals himself to Job in the midst of Job's crying and yelling and questioning and depression. And Job's even able to say in the middle of it all, I know my Redeemer lives. And at the end, I will see God. Even after I'm dead, I'm going to see God. And he trusted in a resurrection. He trusted in a gift of eternity with God, you might say. And guess what happens after God comes to Job, and you know Job's not out of the difficulties yet. In chapter 42, Job worships God again. He worshiped God at the beginning of his pain. He talked to God through the middle of the pain, and he worshiped God at the end of the pain. And God met him there. And Job says to the Lord, he repents in sackcloth and ashes, and he says to the Lord, well, you know what, I talk about things I don't understand. And all God's people said, amen. That's a good summary for many a sermon. That guy's talking about things he don't understand. That's like Job. It's like you and I, as we go through life, and God doesn't give us every answer we think we need. Gives us enough to keep trusting him. And when we don't, he doesn't give us any answers. He says, well, you could trust me anyway. In fact, Job repents of his pride in a way when he was trying to put everything together like pieces of a puzzle. It's not a good idea, although it's a human thing to do. God understands that. So we know in the book of Job, Christ is ruling, dear Job, and all the problems he has. And God's plan in the book of Job is God with Job. That's his plan. And God's plan for you and for me in our suffering is God with us. That's a good plan. That's a really good plan. And our suffering, you know, can't be explained. When we try to explain it, one man said, gives us a false sense of control. Because, let me tell you the reason for what you're going through. Suffering not explained gives a window for us to trust God. Can't explain it, but I know I can look to God. The atheist and agnostic look at suffering and say, we don't know enough to trust God. But Jesus helps us say this, we don't know enough not to trust God. How can I turn from God? My mind. We can't figure everything out. Where am I going to go? Like Peter said, he has the words of eternal life. And God stays with Job, blesses Job at the end of the story. He has many, many more children. And one Bible commentator said, you know, those children he lost, they were going to be with him in eternity. So he didn't really lose them, you see. He was apart from them for a good while. And then more children. And you got the whole cattle thing going. The writer says Job's daughters were the best looking daughters anybody saw in the land, you know. He would just say, well, time to say, oh, thank you, Lord, you're so good in that way. So the Lord honors himself. He gives us peace because without him there is no peace. And so could you and I in a troubled world say, oh, my, we're going to trust God when we don't understand, when we don't need the reason, but we still need God. And he's our strength. And we could smile knowing that at the end he's going to really honor himself. And he also honors himself while we wait and cry and ask for his help on a regular basis. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you. You're the God of all compassion and Father of all mercies. So you were with Job. You were, the word compassion, with him with passion. And help us to be compassionate as a helper of others, as you are compassionate in us. And help us, Lord, trust you in the darkness, because there is a lot of darkness out there. There's evil at every turn, but there's the Lord. We don't even have to turn to see the Lord, that you're with us as you were with Job. Just bless each dear soul here. Make us ministers of yours in the times that we see the great pain around us and even the pain in our own soul. Just give us the heart of Jesus for these matters. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Hey, really good song about the good ending the Lord has for us through the wonderful grace of God.
We're going to sing.